Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
Two big games upcoming for the Grizzlies this weekend, starting tonight in Dallas. We'll talk about that. Plus, David Fizdale defends his man Chandler Parsons in spirited fashion. You'll hear those comments from the Grizzlies head coach. All of that and more. You are Locked On Grizzlies.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hi, everybody. My name is Peter Edmiston. Welcome into this edition of Locked On Grizzlies for your Friday. And boy, this is a big weekend upcoming for the Grizzlies as they are in Dallas tonight to take on the Mavericks, and then in Houston tomorrow night to take on the Rockets. Should get a pretty good indication of where the Grizzlies are at with two tricky road games. Performance, as you would expect from the Grizzlies, has kind of been a little up and down, but that's been the story for most of this season. So we'll talk about that and a good bit more. I want to say a big thank you again to our friends at Grizz Essentials who have jumped on with us this week as a sponsor. You can go to grizzessentials.com/LOGrizzlies and use the promo code CHANCOON. Promo code CHANCOON. And we're going to talk about Chandler Parsons coming up momentarily. Use that promo code CHANCOON, CHANCUN, to get that first month of Grizz Essentials gear for free. Grizz Essentials, in case you don't know, what a great company Mark, Courtney, and their family put together. Just an awesome idea. They send you a box of Grizz gear, of stuff, of shirts, and not just any shirts, not just any gear, but special, unique, one-of-a-kind type items that set you apart from the average Grizz fan. Because listen, if you're listening to this podcast, you're not just a run-of-the-mill Grizz fan. You want to get informed. You want to know what's going on. You want to be, you know, really a cut above. That's what the folks at Grizz Essentials are. They're a cut above, and they make you a cut above as a fan, and they do so really with some of the coolest stuff you're ever going to see. And I'll just tell you, just get the free box. Get that first month free and see for yourself. That's the best way to do it. And I give you that promo code CHANCOON. We're going to do it for a while now, and we're going to change the promo code every week. So you're going to have to keep listening. If you don't take advantage of it this week, you can take advantage of it down the line, but that code's going to change. So remember that. Right now it's CHANCOON. Again, there's the website, grizzessentials.com/LOGrizzlies. grizzessentials.com/LOGrizzlies. Go and get your Grizz gear. Go and make yourself or someone you love feel very, very good with a great box every month of Grizz gear from Grizz Essentials. Now, the promo code there is CHANCOON, and that, of course, brings us to Chandler Parsons, has been the center of a lot of discussion. Had a very interesting Q&A with Jeff Calkins, my colleague over at the Commercial Appeal. If you haven't checked that out, check that out online. And he goes through a few things that are pretty interesting. Most notably, I think that Parsons says that he's still in pain in every way. He's very sore and just he's still playing through pain. Yeah, that's a big red flag. Again, bad sign to me about where he's at. He says he doesn't want to shut it down. Says he would consider himself to be a coward if he were to shut it down. I don't know that I necessarily buy that, but I wouldn't expect, honestly, him to be in favor of it. I wouldn't expect that he would want to shut himself down. I would think that he would consider that to be a failure or something like that. That's not supposed to be, you know, his attitude, but it's not supposed to be up to him either. It's up to the coaching staff. It's up to the front office. It's up to people that can look at this thing, hopefully dispassionately, hopefully with a bit of a jaundiced eye, and kind of say, is he doing anything? Is he actually performing? I mean, the Grizzlies are in Dallas tonight. You know he's going to be motivated. That was probably his best game of the season. Last time the Grizzlies were in Dallas, it was right before that bone bruise. So maybe that motivates him. You know, maybe that's what he needs. I don't know. I do know that David Fizdale at practice on Thursday was asked about Chandler Parsons and was asked about his response to the light booing that he received on Tuesday night against Phoenix, to the criticism that he's taken on social media and in other outlets, all that stuff. David Fizdale was asked what he would say, and he gave a very impassioned response defending his guy Chandler Parsons.
I told you guys, my lens is different than everyone else's. You know, I'd like to see some of these people come off of the injuries that he's had and try to come out and play in an NBA game and do it well. It's difficult, you know, and so I'm going to keep showing extreme confidence in him. I understand that it's a real slow process. I'm happy that I have him for the minutes that I have him. We're just going to keep working towards his rhythm. I thought he had a hell of a practice today. You know, maybe it'll help them to know that no one on our team works harder than him. You know, that he's in here every day, all night, you know, either getting treatment, lifting, shooting. My coaches with families are staying in here late at night with him because he carries that weight heavier than anybody. He feels like he's letting his team down. He feels like he's letting the city down, and he doesn't want that. I know people get on him about the social media stuff. You know, that's today's athlete. I don't even know why people get all riled up. They use it against them when it's, you know, they're not playing well. You shouldn't be on there when you're not playing well. Well, when they're playing well, they can tweet and do everything else, you know, so I don't get caught up in that stuff. All I know is I see a guy out here really trying to help us, and you better believe it, when he gets going, it's going to be a huge lift to us, and I guarantee you a lot of people will be happy with him once that body starts moving.
You can certainly hear it in his voice, a little anger, a little irritation. I would imagine that, you know, he's been bombarded with questions this week, especially about, you know, Chandler Parsons. It has felt like, you know, everything's kind of coming to a head, and so, you know, maybe that's part of the frustration in this thing. I don't know. It was certainly the heartfelt, but I don't know. It feels like there's a concerted effort by the organization, top to bottom, to portray Chandler Parsons as the hardest working man in show business, that everyone is saying it, and they're all kind of saying it at the same time. And Chandler is, you know, making sure that it's all out there, that he's working hard. I would expect that he works hard. I mean, that's the expectation, right? If you're not only if you're making, you know, the kind of money that he's making, but if you're in the NBA at all, I mean, do you think Tony Douglas has been working hard? Of course, Tony Douglas has been working hard. Tony Douglas is in the gym all the time. Tony Douglas was in the gym while he wasn't even with the Grizzlies, while he wasn't, you know, getting a paycheck, because he knew that he was going to have an opportunity to get back with the team. You know, he doesn't have the guaranteed money that Chandler Parsons does. The whole hard work thing, I mean, that only takes you so far. I'm fine with it. I'm glad he's working hard. That's good. That's important. But that doesn't, it's a performance thing. You know, this is a performance league, and, you know, this isn't Little League. This isn't, you know, my son's 5-year-old soccer team where, you know, we do reward effort and we do just want you to try hard. We do just want you to play as well as you can play, and that's it, and just do your best. And hey, man, let's all go out and have orange slices and pizza after the game. This is like you're paid for your performance, and you have to perform. And at some point, when the performance doesn't improve, and if anything, it gets worse over the course of the season, then you got to do something. That's been my point. It's time. That's nothing to do with him working hard. It has nothing to do with his desire to get better. It has nothing to do with any of that stuff. It has to do with, what are you doing for the team? What are you doing to really help? And, you know, right now, from a performance standpoint, it's hard to justify his inclusion in the starting lineup, and it's growing harder to justify his inclusion anywhere. There's nobody else, let's put it this way, if his name was anything other than Chandler Parsons, and if he was making anything other than what he's making, he would have already been benched and or completely cut out of the rotation. But the politics of the situation being what they are, he has not been. It's incumbent upon him then to start to justify that spot. I don't begrudge him for making the money that he's making. Good for him. No one should. He signed something that was put in front of him. I'm sure all of us would do something very, very similar. That is not his fault. He did not make that offer. He is merely accepting something that was given to him. But, you know, if the performance isn't there for whatever reason, there's going to come a time, and I think it's sooner rather than later, where you have to adjust based on that. This will be a big weekend. He has said, he told Jeff Calkins in the interview that he wants to play both tonight in Dallas and tomorrow night in Houston. Would be his first back-to-back. I don't know if that's going to happen. I don't know if that's going to happen apart from him playing very limited minutes in the game tonight to try to play tomorrow against Houston. You know, we've talked about it. You know my thoughts on it. I thought David Fizdale was good to see, and that's what a coach needs to do, though. Coach needs to have his players back. Coach needs to have his players back, particularly publicly. That is a that's something that players appreciate, and it's something that you would expect to see, and I think it shows, you know, how much David Fizdale wants this thing to work, because really it would be so much better. The Grizzlies' offense has been terrific, but it would be even more terrific if you had a healthy Chandler Parsons. He'd want that. He needs that. But it's not happening right now. Speaking of the Grizzlies' offense, I talked to David Fizdale, and you may not know, this will be something I'm writing about, and it'll come out later on today in the commercial appeal, but the Grizzlies' offense, in fact, over the last 2 months, has an offensive rating of 112. Which is the best two-month stretch in the history of Grizzlies basketball. What you have witnessed in the last 2 months, Grizzly fans, is the best two-month stretch of offensive basketball in the history of the franchise. And that's, hey, listen, man, I know the Grizzlies aren't the Rockets. They're not the Warriors. They're not shooting jillions and jillions of threes, traditionally at least. They're not putting up massive numbers, you know, so the best two-month stretch in the history of Grizzlies basketball is not the same thing as the best two-month stretch for some of these other teams, but it is still extremely notable, especially given the challenges that David Fizdale and the Grizzlies have faced. So I asked him, where does the offense fit in compared to where he expected the offense to be? You know, what is David Fizdale like? What does he dislike about where things are for the Grizzlies right now offensively?
We're still too slow, but that's just what I have. These guys aren't, you know, they're not Ferraris, you know. That's just what it is, and they know it, and I'm okay with telling them that, and they understand that. And, you know, we don't have a speed advantage every night at most positions, but we can get the ball up the court, you know, with a pace. We can get to our proper spots and spacing and get the guys the ball that need the ball. And, you know, we can get up more threes than they have in the past. And so, you know, I've adapted to this team as they've adapted to me, and we found kind of a happy medium in there that works for everybody. And so, you know, hopefully we could just keep building connection and become a better executing team in the half court from there.
I like that. I like the way he says, I've adapted this team as they've adapted to me. I think that's a good way to look at it, because, you know, a lot of times coaches come in and just kind of unilaterally decide that they're going to do this, that, and the other, and that's the way that's going to be, and if you don't like it, you can get the hell out and whatever. I don't know that Fizdale had that option with the core four having been here for so long. I don't think that would have worked. And, you know, he came in and made some big calls and big changes and, you know, did some things differently, but always with kind of the consultation of, you know, the players in the locker room, particularly, you know, Mike, Mark, and Zach, because, you know, those are the guys that he's going to rely on. It's just, it's the way that it had to be. You can't come in and expect that you're going to be a first-year head coach and just completely overrun what has happened. And that's why, you know, the finding that happy medium between, you know, playing quickly, which they're not really doing, but spacing the floor, which they are, has been so important and so good to see. And the Grizzlies in the last month were ninth offensively and ninth defensively. They were top 10 in both for the first time all year. And that is a that's an indication of a team that's starting to get more into the, if not elite category, certainly the very good category. And, you know, we see what's happened with the Warriors since they lost Kevin Durant. I mean, they lost again on Thursday to the Bulls. The Bulls, by the way, have won 18 straight games on TNT, which is 18 straight Thursday night games on TNT, which is a crazy stat. But, you know, they lost, again, the first time they've lost back-to-back games in 2 years. Yeah, these things can happen. You know, teams can, you can lose that shine pretty quickly. Steph Curry and Klay Thompson have really struggled. Steph, in particular, from behind the three-point arc. These things happen. And so if you're the Grizzlies and you just continue to put yourself in a position to be top 10 in both offense and defense, then if the playoffs roll around and you can catch somebody in a weird spot, you want to give yourself a puncher's chance. And I think what you're seeing development-wise from the Grizzlies is something that's going to allow them to be able to have that puncher's chance, because they can make those threes and they can shoot threes. You know, they take 20 threes a game all the time. They didn't used to do that. They've taken 20 threes a game, or 20 threes in a game 55 times this year. So virtually every game. And that's only notable because over the last four seasons prior to this one, combined, they only did it 54 times. I mean, that gives you an opportunity. You're taking those threes and you're making them, and it gives you that opportunity to win games that you otherwise wouldn't. You have to score. You have to score points. You just do. And, you know, defense can only take you so far in today's NBA. You've got to be able to score. The Grizzlies have added that to their game. So now that takes us to what's happening this weekend and the games against Dallas and Houston. Dallas is the one that you really would like to get. You don't feel especially confident if you're the Grizzlies about going into Houston. You'd like to put on a good performance, certainly better defensively than what we saw last time out. But the Dallas game is the swing game. It's the one that will tell you a lot about where you're at, because this Dallas team, in spite of not being gifted with a lot of talent, they're playing great. They're playing really, really well. And Nerlens Noel, you know, in spite of the fact they lost to Atlanta earlier in the week, I mean, they're 3-1 since acquiring Noel. They are playing with much more force, with much more of the mindset that Rick Carlisle wants them to play with. And they're starting, I mean, they're starting like three dudes that shouldn't be, I mean, that really shouldn't be in the league when you think about it, just statistically speaking. You know, Yogi Ferrell, who was the rookie of the month in February, which tells you, you know, what this rookie class is really all about, which is some potential and not much else. Joel Embiid should be rookie of the year, by, even though he's only played 31 games. My God, he's who is number two? It's Brogdon? I guess. I don't know. Anyway, it's been a rough rookie class. But Yogi Ferrell is, you know, rookie of the month in February, and rightly so. He signed a 2-year deal, had been cut by a couple teams, notably the Nets, and yet he jumps in and is playing really hard and really pretty darn well. Same thing with Seth Curry, not Steph Curry. Seth Curry's been shooting the ball better than his brother over the last 2 or 3 weeks. And so those two guys start. Dorian Finney-Smith starts for the Mavericks. Yeah, I know. They've got Ben Bentle, who's playing a few minutes. Yeah, I know. They've got a lot of guys you will, I promise you won't have heard of. Even if you're an NBA fan, you probably won't have heard of a lot of these guys. But Rick Carlisle has them playing really well. Dirk's playing better. Harrison Barnes is, you know, playing that small ball four that works out well for him. And then Noel's come in and has played, you know, key minutes off the bench, has played really hard. So, you know, this is the challenge for the Grizzlies, because talent for talent, the Grizzlies should have the edge, and a pretty big edge. But, you know, this is a team that executes really well. And I'll be curious to see how things progress. There's no injuries for the Grizzlies. Brandon Wright will not miss this game. I know he's still kind of waiting for his twins to be born, and so I think they're kind of on a little bit of a edge in that situation. But he's going to make the trip, it appears, and will play. So that's big. Him on that second unit is really helpful for the Grizzlies. It picks up the pace. He, alongside Tony Douglas and Mike Conley, really play well together and can pick up and move. And the Grizzlies need to get moving a little bit. You know, get those transition buckets. Those transition buckets help them a lot. They don't want to get too bogged down in a half-court game, especially against the Mavs. The Mavs are a team that likes to control the tempo now. And it's kind of counterintuitive, but the Grizzlies probably want to speed them up just a little bit in that grouping that they've got. You can do that if you got Brandon Wright. You can do that with some of those second unit guys that are out there. You can pick it up and get some transition buckets a little bit. You know, will we see anything happen with Chandler Parsons? I doubt it. I don't think he's going to move out of the starting lineup anytime soon. You know, people had made a lot about Fizdale saying that, you know, changes were coming, and that is a significant thing to say, but I don't think he meant like immediately. Some people, I think, took that as like changes are coming like right now. No, I don't think he meant that like that quickly, but I would suspect and I would think that these are all, you know, evaluative tools that he's going to use in the next couple weeks to come up with the finalized group and then go from there. The game on Saturday against Houston, the big thing to watch for here is, you know, Houston's shot chart. If you go and look, I put it on my Twitter feed, the shot chart they've had since the trade deadline is crazy. It's crazy. They've taken 360 shots as a team, and only 33 have been neither threes nor at the rim. So all but 33 shots have been either like layups or like at the rim finishes, whatever, or 3-point shots. That's it. It's just, it is a commitment to the principles of Morey Ball and to Mike D'Antoni, who wants them to shoot 50 threes a game, and they are averaging 49 threes a game since the trade deadline, since acquiring Lou Williams and really bolstering, you know, their ability to run that spread high pick and roll stuff and improvising stuff and all that. They can run that now 48 minutes, no question about it. They can do all that and line up those guys and let them shoot. And, you know, Ryan Anderson and Eric Gordon and Ariza and, you know, you name it. You know, Harden and Lou Will as well, even though they're more orchestrators, they still take tons of threes. That's just what they do. And the Grizzlies, you know, got completely eviscerated by the Rockets the last time they played. But hell, the Rockets, you know, just went over to L.A. and beat the Clippers. And this is Chris Paul back with the Clippers. Blake Griffin, pretty full-strength group. And they just ate them alive. Just ate them alive. Had 108 points through three quarters, just slicing and dicing, great passing, great shooting, very, very difficult matchup. So, you know, what will the Grizzlies do? Will they be able to slow them down? That's the test for the Grizzlies. Not so much about the wins and losses in games like that, because you expect to lose, but you just want the performance to be better. The Grizzlies got completely roasted last time out, and it really kind of forced some soul-searching and a couple changes to the pick-and-roll defense as a result of what they saw. This is a very efficient and difficult group to deal with because it is so much improv. You know, as much as you want to prepare for the Rockets, they improvise out there. They improvise. And you can't, if they're not really running strict plays or sets or anything like that, all the scouting, all that stuff, you know what, it's you got to react because it doesn't really come into play. So watch the Grizzlies. It'll be a contrast. See who can play in both games. See if Chandler Parsons will be able to play in both games. But just know that this is a big one. big weekend for the Grizzlies. And we'll have, of course, all the recap and everything else for you on Monday's show. Thanks so much for joining me here on Locked On Grizzlies. As always, you can check me out 7 to 10, Wolo and Peter in the morning, Real Sports Talk, Sports 56877 FM. Check out Numbers Game in the commercial appeal. And you can check us out on Facebook as well. Search for Locked On Grizzlies or go to facebook.com/LockedOnGrizzlies. For those of you, of course, that are big fans of the podcast, let me tell you something. This is a great spot for your company. If you want to reach men between the ages of 18 and 54, this is the place for your audiences. And here's something to consider. Recent surveys have shown that podcast listeners are 65% more willing to think seriously about purchasing products they learned about from podcasts. 60%, given equal price and quality, prefer to purchase from companies that advertise on their favorite podcasts. Our rates are very reasonable. Please shoot me an email, peter@peteredmiston.com. Shoot me a tweet @peteredmiston or a direct message, something like that. We can get all the information out to you. I'd love to have you on the podcast, become part of our family, and reach all those great folks out there that are listening. Thank you so much. You have been Locked On Grizzlies.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily podcast on the Memphis Grizzlies, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.